Well, good day and welcome to another episode here of the Disaster Podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Davis, the Pod Medic, and it's always great to be back here with you here on the show. Things have settled down maybe a little bit in some ways, but yet there's still a lot of disaster-related news, weather, and other events going on. And we thought it was best to come back in and get a live episode coming in this week because of just the assorted nature of things that are going on right now. Before we get to that, though, let's bring in our co-host, Sam Bradley. Sam is fresh back from a Prepper Medical event.
We are, and we're going to talk a little about that, Jamie. It was an absolute awesome weekend, and everybody on the podcast, but yourself, was there, and we're going to tell you all about that. And we had our first snow here yesterday and our first frost last night, but the snow is pretty, but it went away almost as fast as it came. So, Kyle, you probably had a lot more up there in Aspen, I imagine.
Yeah, Sam, we had quite a few inches up there in the mountains of Aspen. The Front Range of Colorado was a big winner out of it, as I'm sure you found out, as well as the Central Mountains. And it actually looks like Arapahoe Basin ski area is going to open for business this coming Friday. So, Sam,
wow.
get the boards out and get them waxed. It's ski season.
Awesome. So, of course, you're traversing around the country as usual, and you're where right now?
I'm in Georgia this week teaching at Kennesaw State University about hazardous weather preparedness for campuses. So sharing the love on weather and emergency management.
Very good. So what else is going on out there weather-wise? I think Juan has already passed through and done his damage. What else is out there?
Oh, man. Well, we're up to the O's right now. So Ophelia is the current storm that's currently setting out in the central Atlantic, not looking like a threat to the U.S. mainland or any of our territories right now. In the last week, Hurricane Nate was the big story, made landfall on the Gulf Coast as a Category 2 storm and moved very quickly to the north and to the east and spread some rain, heavy rain, actually, even all the way up into Jamie's neck of the woods. So it'll be interesting to hear his take on that. But looking ahead, looks like a fairly quiet weather period for the United States. Above normal temperatures across the central and eastern U.S., below normal temps in the northwest. That's all I have for the disaster weather roundup. But Jamie, sounds like you got hit by the remnants of Hurricane Nate pretty hard.
Oh, we did. I mean, luckily it was moving fast, and we've talked about this before. It's not just the strength of the winds or the the rainfall that comes with it. It's really about a combination of factors, as you've said in the past. And so luckily, even though it was dumping a lot of rain, the storm itself was moving quickly. So the duration of that rainfall was only about 10 to 12 hours. And it was sporadic in between. It would rain and then we'd get the rain bands coming through. So we had some really heavy downpours for an hour or so, caused some localized flash flooding in our area, in all the usual places, as I was telling Kyle before we got started recording, that it really is an event that we saw coming. We were prepared. People knew in our area where the flooding was most likely to occur, in some low-lying areas and some low bridges and things like that. And the water receded pretty quickly as well once the storm passed through. So no lasting damage, some trees down from some gusty winds and some localized minor power outages. But, generally, and again, we were prepared. We knew it was coming. We watched for it and just stayed out of the areas that were problematic.
I'm glad to hear that. Well, there is one huge disaster still going on, and I've been watching my Facebook, and it's just inundated with reports from all my friends up in Northern California. The wildfires going on there are devastating. I think the last there were at least 15 deaths, and there's a lot of people missing, and many, many people I know have had to evacuate, so my heart goes out to all of them. What's the latest that you've heard, Jamie? I've been kind of in and out today.
Well, I was checking in. I checked the weather, latest news on the CNN feed, and they're still confirming 15 people, but they're saying at least 15 people because there are many people that are unaccounted for. So they have what happens is they've got loved ones from other areas calling into authorities asking for wellness checks on people that they haven't been able to contact. And the authorities have evacuated large areas and sent people to shelters in various places. So they're not quite sure where everybody is. And so this is a time of a little bit of pandemonium and uncertainty. So we're hopeful that these people are all going to turn up, that maybe their phones weren't charged or the cell tower service has been spotty because of the power outages and the damage to the cellular towers themselves as the fires came through. So we're going to have to see, hopefully that number doesn't go up too far. But largest fires burning in Sonoma, Napa, and Mendocino counties. I think thousands of buildings destroyed, commercial and residential areas. There was an interview I saw with one of the winery owners. The vineyard owners said about 3/4 of the grape harvest had already been brought in. So that damage was not going to affect this year's crop to an extent. But they also made the comment that people before wine was where their priorities were, and they were looking at helping to evacuate and provide shelter resources and things like that from their business. So that's good. But I'm interested, actually, from Kyle's standpoint, because I understand just from what I'm reading that weather really created the conditions that caused this storm to these various fires around the Northern California area to spread rather quickly.
Absolutely, they did. There was it was a combination of several factors, including some dry weather conditions that occurred, hadn't gotten rain in those areas in several days. So you had a localized short-term drought conditions, which resulted in very low fuel moisture. So all those fuels and grasses, shrubs and things at the surface could readily ignite. And once they did ignite, they were in an environment that had very low humidities and very strong winds, which allowed those fires to spread very, very much unchecked. And it was definitely a catch-up game from the start for the firefighting resources that were deployed. So actually looking ahead now at the fire weather outlook from the Storm Prediction Center, it looks as if those fire weather conditions are going to persist across California in the areas that those fires are currently burning, especially for at least the next 2 to 3 days, with some increased and high winds moving in this weekend. So it doesn't look like there's much relief in sight for those that are affected by this, as well as those that are working to put those fires out.
Another thing, Jamie, that I caught on Facebook this morning was somebody talking about Napa Kaiser having to evacuate, and that they did such a phenomenal job of getting those people out safely. And in fact, somebody commented that generally when a hospital is evacuated, they tend to lose 1 to 5 people. And to their knowledge at this point, they hadn't lost anyone in this transition. So, they could be proud of themselves. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, it makes sense. I actually heard about the hospital evacuation, too, and I immediately thought of the speed with which the reports were saying these fire fronts were spreading. They talked about the flames and the cinders leaping, multi-lane highways in ways that they really expected the highways to provide a little bit of a fire break, and it didn't do that because the winds were driving the flames ahead of it. So it made me wonder how much leeway and head alert time they had to get this hospital evacuated. The challenge, like you said, is that when hospitals have to evacuate like that, there is an expectation that there may be some loss of life, just because you're talking about, your average appendectomy patient and, medically infirm elderly patient generally can be evacuated and remains pretty stable with some minor treatment and monitoring. But when you talk about your ICU patients, your critical care patients, your neonatal patients, you're really your most at-risk patient group. It's difficult to move them and bring all of the equipment necessary to keep them alive under their extreme condition. And so it's good to hear that they didn't lose anybody in the transport and transfer. Those are the patients that I'd, you know, be most worried about as a nurse in a hospital setting, is getting those critically ill patients that are on ventilators, that are, you know, getting multiple medications and on multiple IV pumps and things like that to manage very severe conditions. Those are the patients that are going to require the most coordination to get them safely moved to another facility. And we talked about this earlier last week when we talked about hospital surge and how hospitals today don't have a lot of surge capacity. So when you talk about moving an entire hospital worth of patients to other local hospitals, there isn't that many beds in the ICUs and neighboring hospitals to take an entire ICU's worth of patients from a large hospital facility. It's difficult to do. And like I said, it's good news to hear that they didn't lose anybody.
Yeah, the picture that I'm actually looking at is one of those patients, and it's got about five people around it. So you can imagine the number of resources it would have taken for, you know, even one of those patients to be moved. But, you know, the good thing is you got a lot of people out there helping from all over the state. But unfortunately, there's fires all over the state. So we can just, you know, take a deep breath and hope for the best for them. But I want to get on to something a little happier. We have our friend Kevin with us. Hi, Kev.
Oh, sorry. Pulled a Joe.
Mute button. We had a fantastic weekend. Kyle and myself and Kevin were the Disaster Podcast representatives for a team that came together. We had two other podcasts involved, both PREPA-related podcasts, that somehow, Kevin, you'll have to tell us the story on how you this old idea got hatched and so forth. But it culminated in this training weekend, and we want to tell you about that because it was absolutely fantastic. So, Kev, how did that get started? I think I know some pieces of it, but explain it to us.
So the initial, I listened to Dale and Lisa's podcast over at survivalistprepper.net, and one of the topics that came up was emergency medicine in a disaster situation, and they were talking about suture kits, and that's one of my buttons. Because I don't think a layperson should have anything to do with suturing. So I made contact with Dale in a very friendly and professional manner. And I said, hey, you know, just so you know, we had a little chat and he invited me on the podcast and we actually talked about that. And, I can send Jamie the link to that podcast if anybody wants to hear about it. So the podcast went great and, some more communication back and forth between myself and Dale. And he had me on as a guest for a second episode. And in between the two, we talked about putting a class on somewhere in the Denver area for any of his listeners who wanted to get together for a class in Wilderness First Aid. And that grew some momentum. And long story short, we picked a date in November. And it morphed from a wilderness first aid course to some wilderness medicine with a whole bunch of other topics that people would be more interested in because we only had the one weekend to work with. And the normal wilderness first aid class takes up the entire weekend. And we figured that would be a better, people would more rather come to a weekend that wasn't just one specific class, and they didn't really care about getting a certification card. So I reached out to a number of people, including Sam, and said, hey, we're having the shindig out in Denver. Want to come? And that was pretty much it. Found a venue, secured the venue. A little small, but that's okay. We made it work. But yeah, it turned out to be pretty awesome. We had Brian Duff. We had Dale from the Survivalist Prepper podcast, do a thing on ham radios. We had Brian Duff from the Mind for Survival podcast give a talk. We had Sam give a number of lectures. I gave a few lectures. And I think it was a great weekend. I heard nothing but great results. And people are already asking when the next one is. Excuse me. asking when the next one is. Yeah, so I've got some work to do.
You sure do. And, you know, this was kind of short notice on throwing it together, but the idea of giving them what they wanted was perfect because they got a lot of the medical. We did a, you know, some basic stuff and then ended up with a little triage scenario thing. And Kyle did a thing on weather, which I thought was completely awesome. We did stuff on communications. You did a thing on lightning and how to pack a bag. I mean, there were so many different things that Kyle and I agreed that we walked away from it with a whole lot of new information. So I love the idea that three podcasts could come together with disaster preparedness on whatever level as a common theme, and all of us have a different level of expertise. And the cool thing was all the participants had great levels of expertise. We talked to a guy who does that for the big hospital in Denver and just great stuff. It was awesome. And it was a small enough group that all of us got to know each other a little bit. It wasn't like a class of 200 people that everybody goes up their own way for lunch. We all had lunch together. We hung out afterwards. We really got to know these people. It was just great fun. And I, like you, Kevin, just got nothing but positive feedback and some of the stuff that's coming up. I'm watching everybody's website now. It was nothing but positive. And Kyle made a comment earlier that, you know, their level of confidence in the things they didn't know has gone up astronomically. And I think that's pretty cool. What do you think, Kyle?
Yeah, Sam, you're absolutely right. Definitely saw everyone, including our instructor cadre, learn and grow along with all the great folks that came out to attend the course and who also shared their knowledge and experience with us and the rest of the class. It was a overall fantastic experience. I had a great time finally putting some faces to Twitter handles and voices on podcasts from a whole variety of folks that I listen to and interact with online. And so building that camaraderie and building that community in person, I felt was a huge, huge thing for me. And it was great to have the opportunity to come down to Denver, which is kind of right in my backyard, and to share and to teach. So big thanks to Kevin for inviting me down.
And, of course, the best part was getting to hang out with you in person. We podcasted for quite a while, as a matter of fact, but never, you know, our attempts to meet each other failed every time. And this time we actually got together and got to know each other a little better on the non-podcast side, and it was truly awesome. And you're a damn good instructor, Kyle. I really enjoyed your stuff. And now, even more than before, I'm becoming a weather junkie. I've got to go learn more.
Right on.
Yeah,
well,
Kyle,
hey,
was awesome.
Sam, we'll get you and Jamie certified as meteorologists here pretty quick.
Oh, I would absolutely love that. So, Kevin, what was your favorite part?
The whole thing. Actually, my favorite part was actually getting some sleep on Sunday evening. That was my favorite part.
You were pretty nervous in the beginning because, you know, when you're kind of responsible for the whole thing, it's real easy to go, oh, my God, what can go wrong? And, you know, we were trying to chill you out because we knew we all had your back and we would make it work. And, you know, we use the term semper gumby. You know, you just got to be flexible. And if things go wrong, which really not that much did, you recoup and you figure out how to work around it. But fortunately, there wasn't any, you know, big glitches. So I hope you got something out of it in terms of what you learned, but maybe you knew more of that before we did anyway.
Oh, definitely. No, I definitely learned a lot from Kyle and his talk about the weather stuff. I'd actually had my interest kind of, I guess, peaked when I was taking flight lessons to get my private pilot's license, and we had to learn a lot about the cloud formations and whatnot. And I put that in the back burner years ago. And when Kyle gave his talk, that just flooded me with, wow, okay, I'm back to, now I want to go back to pilot school because this is awesome stuff. But no, Kyle's weather stuff was awesome. And Kyle is an awesome instructor. And I heard a lot of people, just nothing but great stuff about Kyle. And not just from his one talk, but throughout the whole weekend when Kyle would jump in and offer his words of wisdom, so to speak. Everybody that I talked to about it, and I talked to pretty much everybody, had nothing but positive things to say about everybody for the whole weekend, excuse me, except for me. I didn't ask about me. But no, Kyle was great. You were great. Everyone did an awesome job. And next time I'm driving to Denver.
Yeah, that might work better, unless it's snowing or something. But Jamie, you asked about photos. Lisa of the Lisa and Dale Survivalist Prepper podcast, she's not only a nurse, but she's apparently quite a photography buff, and she did video and must have taken hundreds of pictures, so I'm sure she would be more than glad to share them. And I took a few of Kyle teaching, which turned out pretty well, so we'll get those to you, because she's actually going to give us the whole bunch of them, I think, and put them up on a site where we can share them. So that's going to be a lot of fun. We'd love for you to see them. You know, maybe next time you can be there with us. It'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it would be. It would be. I look forward to doing something like that. That would be fun. Yeah, we'd just like to have some pictures so we can put maybe something, one up of people training or practicing their bandaging or something or whatever on the page for this episode so people can get a little sense of what you were teaching. But, you know, my question is, you know, this is the kind of thing that we talk about in the podcast a lot, Kevin, which is that people need to prepare and train for what is actually to be expected. And like you said, rather than trying to figure out whether you can learn how to suture, maybe let's start with basic bleeding control.
Exactly. And we covered a lot of basic stuff that people just ate up. I mean, the weekend wasn't even over yet. And people were asking me, when is the next one? Do you have any dates yet? Because they just absolutely loved the hands-on practice that they don't get with watching videos on YouTube or reading books or you know, just reading about it on the internet. And I think Sam and Kyle will both agree that I think the hands-on part was, at least for us, was the fun part, especially when one of us got hit with a flying squirrel in the chest.
Yeah, they made up their own scenarios. But I think that last exercise really did go well, and even the little bit of triage we taught them, because they could potentially be in a situation where there's a lot of patients around as well. And they definitely all agree. I remember one guy telling me, you know, this is a guy who had no first aid at all. And he was saying, you know, a lot of it didn't quite make too much sense, but when I got my hands on and I actually put on that first bandage, I felt like $1 million and felt, wow, I can really do this. But here's something funny, Jamie, I got to throw in. So that last exercise I wanted to put together, I was trying to figure out something cute to do with it. So I called it the zombie apocalypse, right? So just for fun, I went searching the net for zombie apocalypse. And believe it or not, I ended up on the CDC website. They have a whole thing on zombie apocalypse, you know, under the guise of disaster preparedness. But people would read that because it's interesting. Who would have thought? Somebody at the CDC has a sense of humor. It's like, well, when the zombie's racing after you and trying to eat your brains, you can do this. So, you know, but on the serious note, they're saying, well, look at the real disasters that could occur in your area, and this is how you prepare for them. So I thought that was an awesome thing that the CDC did. But I wouldn't have ever thought to find that on their site. But swear to God, it's up there. So you got to check that out. It's pretty good.
They even have a zombie emergency response team.
Yeah, yes, they do. They have a logo and everything. So.
Well, you got to, I mean, that comes back to the whole concept of, you know, what you need to do to generate interest in preparedness. And, you know, the lessons that you learn to prepare for something, for any disaster, are the same from disaster to disaster, at least in the basics level. You know, the things you need to prepare and pack in your disaster response kit, what kind of food items and how much water and things like that. All of that is the same when you need to be self-sustaining for a certain period of time, whether it's a zombie apocalypse, a flood, a hurricane, a blizzard, whatever the case may be. You need to be prepared with that kit so that you are ready to go for that 72-hour minimum period where you might need to be self-sufficient.
Exactly. And, of course, how many times have we talked about that? Oh, and by the way, a shout-out to Dr. Ben Abel. We've had him on the show talking about his Venom team. And we were able to get him up on Skype, and he did quite a really interesting presentation about things that bite, mostly snakes. And he's always an interesting guy. Of course, he brought his banana phone along with him, but we have them as well. So that was great fun. You know, one thing I subscribe to is education does not need to be dry and boring. And, you know, I was determined we were going to have a good time, and I think we did. And almost right away, everybody kind of fell into that, you know, felt open to ask questions and make comments and share their expertise. And I think that was one of the real wins this weekend. What did you think about that perspective, Kevin?
Oh, definitely. I get a lot of positive comments and people asking me, who again is this Dr. Snake guy?
the snake guy, yeah.
And when I told them, you know, who he was and all about Venom 1, they're like, really? Wow, that guy is awesome. I was like, yep. And he's, that's the first doctor with a sense of humor. I was like, well, you haven't listened to the podcast, have you?
That's really true.
So I told him about the, you know, this podcast and Dr. Joe. And so hopefully we'll have a few more listeners to this podcast from that weekend, from this weekend.
I definitely know we will, because I put out my card and I had a lot of people asking me for it and said, boy, I can't wait to catch up on what you guys are talking about, because these people in general just love this stuff. And any perspective they can get on it, they're gonna grab it and run. So we just have a slightly different perspective. So we definitely will pick up some listeners. And we, of course, Jamie will post the they all both have Facebook pages as well as websites. So, you know, hopefully we can send some of our folks over to learn a little bit from them.
I think we can absolutely do that. So it sounds like you guys had a great time, and it sounds like this is the first of several, maybe, because of the response you got. Maybe you'll have to move them around to different areas just to keep them, you know, hit other parts of that community. I don't know how much you could ramp up from what you did this past weekend in the area you were, or is this something that you think you can grow in that location?
We're thinking about moving it around the country. A lot of people reached out to me and said, hey, I would love to come, but it's just too far, or I can't make it, or it's too close to a different conference that we just came back from a few weeks ago. So we're looking at where in the country we can have it and when we can have it, and then obviously trying to find a venue. We're talking about maybe having some sponsors and having a few vendor tables. We're not trying to make it into a big thing that's really heavy with the vendors, because the focus is and always will be, as long as I'm involved in it, beyond education and training. So we're trying to put together all the notes that we got after on Sunday when it was over, and try and look at what went great, what went good, and what we can focus on doing better of next time. And then looking more for what part of the country would be a good fit for the next one, what time of the year, and then looking at, you know, how many people we can accommodate based on what venues are in that area. So it's we're starting hopefully this week or next week. A few of us have already kind of picked it up, but there probably will be a next one this coming year. And as soon as we have more information, we'll get the word out.
Well, and all three of us have done interviews on their podcast as well. In fact, my second half just went up, called The Disaster Mindset. So you can kind of hear our different perspectives on some of that stuff. And I really feel like we're representing the disaster podcast with those folks, and it makes me feel good. But another funny thing was Brian Duff, you know, who I spent some time talking to, he and I trained at the same paramedic school. We cut our teeth in the same area, knew a lot of the same people. It's really funny, you know, how small that community is. So we were talking about the old Mother Jugs and Speed days. And, of course, some of them looked at us like deers in the headlights. But, you know, it's fun to talk to somebody that's been around that long and shared some of the same experiences early in their career, you know, as he and I have. So really neat, too.
That's a 70s pop culture reference.
Yeah.
I haven't thought about that movie in, like, forever.
Well, of course, we asked around the table how many people were even familiar with it, and we didn't get too much of a response, but I think Kyle had seen it. But, you know, the people don't realize things were really kind of like that for a while, you know, in that area. So, you know, so there was just so much about it that was just such great fun. And now we have new friends, and we can look forward to the next one. Maybe we should do 3 days, Kevin. What do you think?
Yeah, we're thinking about either a full day Friday or a half a day Friday to get it started, and then going through again until Sunday evening. But again, we finding a venue that we can afford based on the numbers we're projecting that will show up for this. It's probably going to be the snowball effect. We start out kind of small and kind of build our way up to something of a pretty decent size. But small is good because I think like you said before, everybody got the one-on-one or one-on-two attention of all of us that were there. I know specifically for the hands-on, there was a few guys that I was working with. In fact, yeah, I think Lisa got some pictures of it. Just wrapping an arm with a roller bandage. And I think that was who you were talking about before.
Yeah.
He had no first aid knowledge whatsoever. The first time he tried it after watching a few people demo it, he put it on a little bit too loose. And then when we made the standard on-the-spot correction, it took all of maybe a half a second, and his eyes got wide. He goes, oh, wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, he's probably driving his family crazy, bandaging all of them.
Yeah, so the small group was great. And we'll see what happens. I know where I would like to see it grow in the future, but we have to work from, you know, got to walk or crawl before you could walk. So we'll see what happens on this next one and take it from there.
So on another note, Jamie, you and I will be together next week in Las Vegas.
Yeah, we're going to be at EMS World Expo in Las Vegas starting. Actually, Sam and I will be getting in on Monday the 16th and setting up the podcast studio on Tuesday the 17th, so that the conference, actually the exhibit hall floor, opens on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday next week. And so anybody that's going to be attending EMS World Expo that listens to the show will be in booth 2053, and we urge you to come by during exhibit hall hours and stop by the booth and say hi to me, Sam. We'll have Chris Montero and Ann Montero there with us as well, and a group of guests that'll be rotating in and out, so you can stand by the booth. We'll have some speakers and a monitor set up so you can actually listen in and watch the live recording of the camera studio we have set up there. And we'd love to have people stop by and check in. And of course, we're going to be doing the Disaster Podcast there, as well as My Medic Cast and some other shows. And we will probably also get a chance to visit with Dr. Joe and Jim Logan. While we're there, they're going to be doing some things. And like you guys did this past weekend, I think it's really all comes down to good training and opportunities to train in an experiential way. And that's something we do a lot when we talk with our friends at Joe and Jim at Paragon Medical Education Group. So we'd like to, again, thank them for sponsoring the podcast. We urge you to check them out. You can find them over at ParagonMedicalGroup.com. You can also find them on Facebook under the same words. And you can always find them at ParagonMedEDU on Twitter. And we have links to them on the Disaster Podcast page as well. But, you know, check them out and see what they can do to bring some just top quality experiential training into your system on how to be prepared for the disasters that are coming your way, whether it's active shooter situations, whether it's hurricane preparedness, whatever the case may be. They bring real life urban search and rescue, disaster medical, just that whole gamut of skills to your system to help you prepare. So check them out. And again, thanks to them for sponsoring the podcast. Kevin, where can folks find you?
Well, Jimmy, they can find me at wildsafety.com, and links to all of my social media is there, as well as on the Disaster Podcast Facebook group and the disasterpodcast.com website.
Great. And thanks again for coming on tonight. And it sounds like you guys had a really successful weekend event.
Well, thanks for having me again, Jamie. And it was great. It was awesome. And thanks again to everybody who helped put it on and make it such a huge success.
Kyle, where can folks find you?
Well, Jamie, folks can find me on all the social medias under the handle WX Kyle Nelson. I'm also on the Disaster Podcast Facebook group, so feel free to connect with me on any of those places. I'm always happy to continue the conversation.
We'll definitely do that. And I have to say, it's always fun to see what Kyle's putting up on Twitter and Facebook. And I know you're out doing some training right now. And so look into connecting with Kyle and see what he can do for the federal disaster training that he does. It's a great opportunity to get and to learn more from some classes that are offered for free. Right, Kyle?
Absolutely. All the courses that I teach, both weather, climate, and social media related, those are all offered through the National Disaster Preparedness Training Center at no cost to local agencies. So feel free to look us up. If you have any questions about any of those courses, feel free to connect with me, and I can get you pointed in the right direction.
Thank you very much. And Sam, where can folks find you?
Well, Jamie, you know, something you said made me realize something I hadn't overtly realize, that I think watching Jim and Joe and their experiential training kind of translated into my teaching style, and I think that's why we did so much of that this weekend, but it certainly was a success. You can find me on the social medias under Sam Bradley or Sam Bradley 11. Also on the Facebook page, we have our Disaster Podcast Facebook page, as well as the Disaster Podcast website. What about you, Jamie?
Well, I'm under the handle PodMedic in most social media places out there. So friend or follow me. I'd love to hear from you. And, of course, our disasterpodcast.com page, our site, and also our Facebook group over at Facebook. Just search for Disaster Podcast and ask to join the group. We'd love to have you come in and join the conversation. We try to get back and respond to people that have comments over there on any of the posts. And of course, you'd be able to post your own questions or maybe links to things you're doing in your system. We'd love to see what the rest of the community is up to. So please go over there and share some of the things you're doing to be better prepared in your system. Sam, you know, you talked about preparedness, and we talked about the weather-related things that have happened over the last week, creating some pretty severe situations in some setups. But it reminds us what we need to do to make sure we're ready for the medical care that goes along with those disasters.
Yeah, no kidding. The adventures just keep coming. The weather adventures, the natural disaster adventures, the wildfire adventures. And if I don't see how anybody could not be very focused on disaster preparedness. Don't ever think it can't happen to you. But, you know, we want to welcome all our new friends from the other podcasts and look forward to interacting with them. But, you know, all of this stuff still has the same theme, Jamie. Disaster medicine is not our everyday medicine.